My name is Melissa Sweet, and my book is Some Writer, The Story of E.B. White.
Welcome to The Yarn, a School Library Journal production. I'm Travis Yonker. It's got to be tricky to write a biography. I mean, there's the challenge of properly capturing someone's spirit, someone who played an important role in history. But before you get to that point, you often have to get permission and approval from the family of your subject, which can be far from a given. Melissa Sweet threaded that needle beautifully in making Some Writer, The Story of E.B. White. In just a moment, she'll tell us all about it. This is the latest installment of our Unraveler series. In each episode, a book creator will take you inside one of their books. Their inspiration, fears, frustrations, epiphanies, the whole thing pulled apart. It's time to unravel Some Writer.
I was looking for my next book that I was going to write and illustrate, and I was just out walking my dogs, and I thought to myself, if I could illustrate a book about anybody, if I could do a biography about anybody, who would it be? And I thought, oh, wow, E.B. White. He was some writer. My heart just was racing, thinking, how is it that I never thought of this before? I told my editor within about 10 days of that, we met at ALA, and we signed the contract on the idea. I live on the coast of Maine, and E.B. White is kind of in our ether, so we're never too far from him in a way. And I also had many copies of Strunk and White's Elements of Style. That was the book I went to when I wanted to write, which wasn't all that long ago. You know, 2006 is when I wrote my first book. Aside from that, I wanted to use ways of portraying information, charts and maps and photographs, and not the typical, here's the information, but the information would be also visual. I found out early on some of his work was at Cornell, and also his granddaughter lives in my town. So her husband has a marina, a boat building place not far from my home, about a 5-minute walk. So I knew them peripherally, but I did get going on the book for quite a while, nearly a year, before I contacted Martha White, telling her that I'd gotten this far and asking her about permissions. Well, permissions aren't necessarily granted. Anybody can do a biography, but we met and talked about the content of the book and how I was going to portray him before she agreed to let me in, not only let me have permissions, but then Martha came back with scrapbooks he had made, home movies, and lots of photographs that hadn't been used before. So I think we were coming from the same place where let's have this be one biography where we can really show who he was, not only as a writer, but his life in Maine, his life in New York, have it be a definitive biography. So without that information, it would have been a very different book. Much came first, and I had photographs that I just printed out in a Xerox, and so I have a large wall in my studio, and everything goes up on the wall. So it's like a huge scrapbook. So I'm just pinning things up, linking things with tape. There's index cards and little bits of stuff that I don't want to forget. Maybe the covers of his three children's books I know I'm going to put here and there. So I'm looking at the whole thing at once. And of course, when I write and illustrate a book, it's almost more daunting than someone else's manuscript. Someone has done a tremendous amount of work for me. Then I play catch up when I get their manuscript. I do my own research. But in a book like this, it's so part of me that It's almost hard to extract what it is I want to draw and paint about this. One of the initial ideas that I had was to have inserts within the book so that when we came upon an excerpt of E.B. White, it would be in a different paper. It might be smaller. A letter would be the exact same size of a letter. Maybe we'd have an envelope that you take the letter out and open it. So I had it, I almost wanted it to be like his, like ephemera from his life that you'd come upon. Well, that was a great idea, but production-wise, it's impossible. It's not impossible, but it's a very different book. And first of all, I mean, I'm sure librarians don't want loose letters to be gone, you know, a book taken out and half the letters not be in there. So it's different from, it would have been a very different kind of book, and reproducing it would have been really hard. When you set your heart on something and then it's absolutely not going to happen, I have to take a deep breath and maybe even take the afternoon off and go, okay, this is not the book I thought it was going to be, so it's going to be a different book. And those things happen all along the way. So that's a great thing, though, because it's a then it becomes a design problem. And I love that. I love portraying this information in a way that there's a hierarchy. So we have the story, we have the photos, we have E.B. White's quotes and my collages, and all of it's telling the story, but where it falls on the page and how I arrange the information gives it more importance. Some pieces are more important than others. So there's a way of collaging it that is really exciting to try to figure out. It's like, I liken it to a jigsaw puzzle where you're making the pieces and then you're putting it together. I don't even know if my publisher knows this, but as I was finishing the art, I sent it to, I brought it to the photographer. There was much too much to ship. So he was in Boston, I'm in Maine, about a 4-hour drive to him. And I brought it down to him and he photographed it. And I saw the photographs and I said, these pieces aren't done. So he might have done, let's just say randomly, 30 photographs for me. And I said, Rick, pack it up. I'm coming to get it. And I brought it back home and worked on it another month. You have one shot. If it doesn't feel finished, it was killer to me. I had to do it, but I felt so happy that I did it. I want to get it right. I have one shot at this book, so there's a lot of hemming and hawing and hand-wringing to make sure I got it right. Where I let go, and I know the moment, was there's a map early on in the book when E.B. White takes a cross-country road trip from New York to Seattle, and he goes to work in Seattle for a newspaper. And I took an old piece of wood, and I painted on it. I painted the map of the United States on it. And when I used that old wood, the patina of the wood was so beautiful. And when you take something old and use it as a piece of art, it's not precious. There's plenty more where that came from. So you just sort of, you have a way of approaching it that's looser, and it's just, you're making a piece of art, so it's not a big deal. You can change it. And when I did that map, I saw, oh, this is how I want the book to feel. I have actually thought about this a lot because I use a lot of old notebook paper and ledger paper and maps. And all of a sudden, you glue that down, or that's your starting point. You have something to respond to, so you're not faced with the blank page and how do you begin, or where do you begin on this page. So all of a sudden, okay, there's a mark, and I'm going to respond to that mark. It's, I think, 1,000 times easier. I can't even start unless I glue something down first.
Thank you, Melissa Sweet, for the interview. Thank you, Philip Stead, for our theme music. Additional music for this episode from the Free Music Archive. You can contact us via email at theyarnpodcast@gmail.com and visit us online at the School Library Journal website. I'm Travis Yonker. Thanks for listening.